Hey, Ron.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, not a whole lot.
I don't want to toot your horn, bro, but 12-0 in the NBA playoffs, pretty impressive.
Hey, yeah, didn't the Magic win? I think they did.
You don't have to be cocky about it. They had to go seven games.
Well, you know, you guys were kind of mean the last time I was on, you know? It's like, you guys were kind of giving me a hard time.
That was
kind
bad.
Of hurt my
feelings. That was
kind bad. Kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
Oh, you're not sensitive. Stop it. But that is impressive, no doubt about it. Now, it gets a little more difficult here. Obviously, we got an Orlando team that creates matchup issues for the heavy favorites, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then on the other side, Denver just about stole one from the Lakers last night. And I think quite a few people are expecting a close series there. In fact, I have picked the Nuggets, but my record isn't perfect, so what do I care? So what do you think?
All right, well, I thought the Nuggets missed a golden opportunity. That was their best chance to steal a game on the Lakers' home floor because the Lakers retired. Melo had a big-time game. You hate to waste that great shooting performance from Melo. They just didn't execute down the stretch. Kmart had a couple silly fouls. Anthony Carter threw away an inbounds pass. Just got to execute down the stretch. I would say the Lakers, now that both teams have started playing again and knocked off the rust, I would say the Lakers are definitely in the driver's seat now.
Yep, I would agree with that. What about on the other side?
On the other side, I think if you look at, you know, obviously the Magic goes, Dwight Howard goes, the Cavs goes, LeBron goes. I think the Cavs are better built to slow down Dwight Howard than the Magic are built to slow down LeBron. Because if you look at the matchups right now, you look at maybe, is Hedi Turkoglu going to try and guard LeBron? That's a terrible matchup. But mm-hmm. The Cavs, on the other hand, have a ton of big bodies they can throw at Dwight Howard. You look at Barajal, Ilgauskas, Joe Smith, Ben Wallace. They have a lot of bodies they can throw at Howard, and I think they'll do a better job of slowing him down on the offensive glass and all those things.
Even though Orlando had great success against Cleveland in the regular season.
Right. I just think in the playoffs, when you're game planning a little bit more, I think Cleveland has the edge here in matchups.
I'm sorry if I missed it, Ron. Who did you pick for both these series?
I had to stick with my original finals prediction, Lakers-Cavs.
Okay.
Always got to stick with it all the way through, even though I'm actually kind of rooting for Denver. I picked LA,
That's the common word. That's what everyone says. I think the Lakers will win. And I think they're more talented, but I'm rooting for Denver. That's what everybody's saying these days.
You can put me in that group.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm hating on the Lakers. I don't dislike the Lakers at all, but I think for the NBA's sake, the best thing that could happen is the obvious with the Cavs and Lakers. But the Nuggets are a nice story, and you got to like Chauncey, and Carmelo's got his head right. It's hard not to root for him. And poor George Karl's been through such a rough time in the postseason.
He was at such a loss for words last night. I mean, the guy sat there for like over a minute without uttering a word.
The guy coached a one seed out of the playoffs before in the first round. He's all right. This is not bad.
Right.
It could be worse. All right, so top five NBA draft prospects. Obviously, the lottery last night. Blake Griffin's a no-brainer, number one, no matter who won the lottery. So where do you go from there? Some people argue that the Beach should be the 2-2 pick, but the conventional wisdom is that Rubio, the kid out of Spain, will be the number two pick.
I have to go with the Beach. Actually, Rubio's not even in my top five.
Is that right? Well, we're on the same page. I saw a video of him last night. I'm like, I don't get it. But he's 18.
I don't get it. Well, here's the thing. He's not special at one thing. He's an okay shooter, not a great shooter. He's a decent athlete, not a great athlete.
Right.
He's crafty, and, you know, at 18 years of age, it's very impressive what he's done in Europe. Mm-hmm. But I think in the NBA, when he's in one-on-one situations, not to get too much into numbers, but 27% of his production comes out of pick-and-roll situations in Europe. So, you know, he kind of fits the system. When he has to play more one-on-one in the NBA and guard guys like Chris Paul in isolation situations, I think he's really going to struggle.
I'll tell you what the fascination is here for both of you guys. You look at a guy like Aaron Brooks, he was a difference maker in that series against the Lakers. Ricky Rubio, it's about speed. He can penetrate. He can break down defenses. That's the fascination with him.
I just think he doesn't excel at once. I think he'll be a starter, but I don't think he'll ever make an all-star game.
All right.
Which, if you're going to take a guy number one, two, or three overall, I think you need to plan on him being an all-star.
All right, so who do you have? You got the beat number two?
The beat number two, then I'm going Jordan Hill number three, James Harden number four, and my guy that I have rated a lot higher than everybody else is Earl Clark at number five. I think he's kind of an Andre Iguodala guy that fills up the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. 14 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, really fills up the stat sheet. I really like Earl Clark.
All right. Obviously, Kentucky has probably 7 or 8 first-rounders on their team now with
right.
The recruiting class that came in yesterday. Let's talk about the kid that signed yesterday and how much of a difference does that make going into this first year with all these freshmen?
Right. Well, Kentucky finally has, you know, depth. Besides, obviously, all the five-star guys, they have a couple of true point guards in John Wall and Eric Bledsoe. They'll have to go through the learning process. And they got a true center to complement Patterson. I think between DeMarcus Cousins and Patrick Patterson inside, and then obviously Jody makes the score, they're pretty tough. And I think Kansas, just based on experience, and they've got all their talent back too, Sharon Collins, Cole Aldridge. I still would put Kansas number one and Kentucky right behind them at number two.
Okay. I'm trying to think what else we got here.
Well, also, one quick note, the sleeper is Mississippi State because they're bringing in Bernardo's back, and they got,
right.
Renardo Sidney's a top 10 player, and then they got another top 10 guy, John Reek, 7'2", Nigerian center, or Senegal, one of those two. So they got some big bodies coming to Starkville. They're a sleeper to watch out for in the SEC.
Very good. All right, Cleveland win tonight?
Cleveland wins tonight convincingly, I think, 15-plus.
Okay. Did you see that? I mean, we were talking about the odds in Vegas. They're like, Orlando's like plus 800 or something stupid
right.
like that. I mean, that's just insane, man.
Right. Yeah.
Plus 500, I'm sorry.
Right.
Cleveland's minus 700.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
that's just nuts.
Yeah, between 700, 800. There you go.
That's crazy. Anyway, all right, Ron, we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas, thanks for having me.
Brand spanking new, sportsoverload.com.
Looks good.
I think so.
Just go check it out.
I will. Again, I checked it out yesterday when you told me to. I do whatever I'm told.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
That's Ron on the Rumba Revolution Hotline. You can check it out, sportsoverload.com. Does a great job.